This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. David, how many bottles of water do you think you drink a day?
Well, actually, I only drink Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, Strawberry Yoo-Hoo, and the occasional Pepto-Bismol.
Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew? Do they even make that anymore?
Fun fact, no. I have to make my own with McDonald's Sprite, and you guessed it, Texas Pete.
I am genuinely horrified to hear that.
Me too.
You know, unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu water only has two ingredients, hydrogen and oxygen. Nothing more, nothing less. Le Bleu's award-winning ultra-pure water is the result of their patent-pending five steps beyond Mother Nature process, which eliminates the inorganic materials and creates uniquely pure water, free of contaminants and perfectly balanced and fresh tasting.
And Le Bleu produces only the highest quality, ultra-pure bottled water on the market. You can get them in 1 liter, 1.5 liters, 12 ounces, 20 ounces, or even in the 3 to 5 gallon water coolers. And best of all, Le Bleu Central conveniently delivers this pure refreshment right to your home or office.
That's right. Le Bleu delivers our water coolers right here to Clearview Church every single month like clockwork. And it's not just water. Le Bleu supplies the finest gourmet coffees, teas, and hot chocolates to accommodate every preference in your office. I'm talking Green Mountain, Starbucks, Krispy Kreme, Donut Shop. So whether you're looking for the perfect brew for yourself or for your workplace, Le Bleu has got you covered.
You can visit their website today at MyLeBleu, that's MyLeBleu.com, and use promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, for a 10% discount at checkout. Every single purchase you make using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show and gets you one step closer to the purest, most refreshing water you've ever tasted.
Thank you to Le Bleu for sponsoring this episode. Now let's start the show.
Where's my Mountain Dew?
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you can find our show online by visiting clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. And you guys can help us keep the conversation going by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify and where you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links right there in the description so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today is coming to you from Zechariah 8:5. Zechariah, not a book we go to very often.
I don't read a whole lot of Zechariah.
Love those minor prophets. The verse says, "The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets."
You know, and there's a reason that this is a picture of paradise. You know, this is a picture of God painting the promise or painting the picture of the promise of his new city. A lot of P's in there. But there's times where I look at like our church, right? And I see the scuff marks on the wall and I see like confetti and glitter on the floor and juice spills in the carpet. And I'm like, you know what? Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because there are so many churches that wish that they had those. There's so many churches they wish there would be babies crying during the middle of the sermon or kids screaming right outside when you're trying to do something. And it's so easy to get frustrated by it. It's so easy to be like, oh, they left scuff marks on the walls or they, but that's signs of life.
You're absolutely right. I mean, what's the alternative? That this place is pristine and it's never, ever used.
Yeah, we don't even want to come here.
Running down the hallways and being upset that they have to leave. I mean, that's a beautiful thing that your kids and your teenagers don't want to leave church.
Yeah.
I mean, where else would you want them to not leave? Some place that is not a good influence on them.
That's right.
Why not make church a place that is inviting and exciting for kids, connecting them with the truth of God's word and equipping them to be the revival generation?
That's right. We saw that at VBS this past week.
VBS week
is officially in the bags. VBS 2024. It's time to send you off with a crisp salute. It was fun while it lasted, but now we're gearing up for a VBS 2025.
Yes, we are.
Scuba. That was the one that I didn't. So how does this work? The group does VBS and it sends it out to churches all across the nations, but there's other churches that aren't doing scuba, they're doing like other stuff.
Right.
But is it still group?
There are different group actually has two different versions that people can choose, two different themes that you can pick from. So
really?
Some churches
chose scuba?
We chose scuba.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Some churches do I don't remember what the other one is for this year. Some churches choose one theme, some churches choose the other. Some churches do a totally different thing for VBS. Group is not the only game out there. There's VBS curriculum through things like Lifeway or Answers in Genesis, which are all great.
Right.
We just have used Group for a while because the way that their VBS is structured works well, and their curriculum is very solid.
When I was a kid, VBS was you put up a poster on the wall in Sunday school, and that's VBS.
Uh-huh.
And that's supposed to be like, oh man, it's exciting. They put up some colorful posters.
You might get a little certificate to take home with you.
I'm looking outside at the wall right now. And I'm telling you, like, when I say the entire campus is an underwater, like, adventure, you know, yeah. The only thing I haven't seen is a pineapple. That's the only thing I haven't seen.
You know,
I've not
what?
Seen any pineapples.
It's
under
funny
the
that
sea.
You say that, because as we were working on decorations, we were trying to figure out a way to work a pineapple in. And Elizabeth and I, my wife, we are the kind of like the creative minds behind a lot of the decoration. We're part of a lot of like boards and forums online. Mm-hmm. And there were many people who like, hidden in the stage decorations, there's a pineapple or a sponge or a pink starfish with green shorts.
Yeah.
Like, it's just kind of like tucked in there, a little SpongeBob references. Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite part of this past week, do you think?
Oh, man. My favorite part of VBS, and this is like VBS every year, is just the extremes that you see from kids.
Yeah, true.
And here's what I mean by that. Like, there are some kids that VBS is very nerve-wracking for them. Like, they're not used to being dropped off by mom and dad. So it's met with like, you know, I don't want to be here. And there's some tears. For the most part, those kids, once they get in the swing of it, they're like, oh, man, this is great. This is fantastic. But there's kids on that end. And then on the opposite end, there are kids like at 11, ready to go, just like pumped and excited, screaming excited when they walk in the door, flying through the wall, flying through the hallways, just like eyes bugging out.
That's true.
So VBS will often end in tears, either because they don't want to be here or they don't want to leave.
It's funny because there's no kid is ever ambivalent towards VBS. They're never like, eh, it's fun. No. I like it. I enjoy it.
No.
It's like either they really, really. And, you know, a lot of the times those ones that don't want to, by the end of the week, they're completely converted.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
they,
yeah.
Like it's like night one is sort of a disaster. They're crying. They're begging for mommy. By night five or three or four, I would say even. But definitely by night five, they're like, yeah, this is the greatest thing I've ever had.
VBS again.
Like, Gavin, I can't get Gavin to leave. Like, when it's time, it'll be like 9, 10 o'clock. Only the staff is left. I'm like, come on, buddy. We got to go home. He's like, I'm not going. I just want to stay.
We're going to run it again.
Another good thing is. And the radio audience has no clue of this because you guys have sort of been in the dark. But Dr. Shaw is actually back.
Yes.
He's back in the United States.
Yay.
We batch recorded a bunch of episodes, so you guys were none the wiser. But Dr. Shaw has actually been in jolly old England for the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
Not 1 week, but 2 weeks filming a bunch of stuff for upcoming content here at Clearview Church. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to be playing some catch up today. But Dr. Shaw is back. We're going to go get him here in just a few minutes.
That's right. In the meantime, write in and let us know what your favorite VBS memory is being a kid. 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be right back.
What's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we hope you are enjoying the podcast thus far.
You know, we really appreciate how many of you download the podcast every day.
Right.
But we also want to remind you that we are first and foremost a radio show.
Clearview Today is actually syndicated through the Truth Network. And we just want to let you know right now that in addition to hosting the all-time best Christian talk show of all time.
Hashtag Clearview Today.
Hashtag Clearview Today. The Truth Network also, as it turns out, has an extensive library of Christian programming.
We really love everything they're doing at the Truth Network because the whole goal is to encourage, challenge, confront, and uplift listeners with the life-changing truth of Jesus Christ through Christian talk radio.
And listen, we know we are not the only show wanting to expand its audience. So if you have a vision for your show or for your ministry, why don't you consider syndicating your show through the Truth Network? Because they rely on decades of experience of self-syndication with a full array of features for your long-form or short-form content.
Make sure you visit the Truth Network online today at truthnetwork.com, or you can give them a call at 336-759-0363. Again, that's 336-759-0363. Well, John, are you ready?
I was born ready, my friend. Let's hop right back in.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we are here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shaw, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. You can find all his work at his website. That's abadanshaw.com. Dr. Shaw, welcome back stateside,
welcome
my friend.
Welcome back.
It's good
You're
to be
back.
Home.
Home again.
Yes.
Jiggity jig. I just want to say I missed you so much. Dr. Shaw is back in the studio.
Confetti. We don't have confetti is being thrown.
We got this right here. So Yay. Here's the thing. All you guys, listen, I said this in the intro. You had no clue. Because what we did is we recorded ahead of time, right? We got ahead of the game. But for us, we have not recorded an episode in almost 2 weeks.
Wow. Yeah.
And one of the biggest things that we got, Dr. Oh, by the way, how was England?
Amazing.
Nice.
Can we have an episode where we just talk about England?
Let's
That'd
do it.
Be awesome.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do it.
We saw everything from I mean, I went to Oxford for the conference. That's where there was a text critical conference. Mm-hmm. And so I was attending that and then went to London, saw the British Library, British Museum, and then, you know, saw the places like Churchill's War Room. Mm-hmm. If you ever seen the movie, what's that movie called?
I think it's called War Room. Darkest Hour.
Darkest Hour. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So where he was in the bunker, by the way, that bunker was not that deep.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It God protected them because it's like one level, like basement. That's all
it
was.
Wow. I didn't know that.
It was not like miles and miles deep or whatever. No, it was just one short steps down and you're there.
And that's it. Wow.
And I mean, the bombs, some of the bombs that fell, they didn't fall that far from that area.
Wow. Mm.
And so we went there. We went to the British Parliament. Mm-hmm. Saw the House of Lords and House of Commons. Saw St. Peter's Cathedral and so many other places. Went mm-hmm. to Cambridge as well. Stratford, where Shakespeare's from.
Right.
Stonehenge, Charles Dickens, Jane Austen's home. I mean, there's a lot of places. I had a great time, mm-hmm. but there's no place like home.
That's right. Mm. Amen.
Coming back to America is like, yes. Now I know, I've always known that, but now once again, I know that why America is different.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I love to hear it. Well, you know, one of the things that we wanted to discuss on the show was we wanted to play a little bit of catch up. Okay. We got a ton of texts talking about, hey, why are y'all not talking about the assassination attempt on President Trump? Why are y'all not talking about Sonia Massey? Why are y'all not talking about the congressional hearings for the Secret Service? Why y'all not talking about the why y'all not talking about none of this stuff? And we were like, guys,
I'm not here.
Dr. Shah's not here.
You don't understand.
It was crazy because you got on the plane. It was like, all right, bye, Dr. Shah. And then like day after day after
day after day,
it was big stuff. Yeah. And we were like texting back and forth. And I was these 2 weeks out of all the 2 weeks, everything in America.
It's like everything got crammed into those two.
It was like he was like you were drinking tea and stuff in England. It's like, man, things are nice over here. How's it over there in America? It's like things are popping off.
It's falling apart. It's not good.
We got at least 4 or 5 texts asking like, are y'all gonna do an episode on the assassin? I was like, yes, of course, when Dr. Shah comes back.
Yeah, it's very tragic. I saw it and I said to some of our guys, I said, something is wrong. Mm-hmm. That should not have happened.
Right.
There's no way that it's inconceivable to me that somebody could take a shot that close to President Trump. That is not normal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then like less than 24 hours later, people are saying, oh, wait, that's not normal.
No,
that's not normal. Because initially it was like, oh, wow. You know, it's amazing how quickly they got to him. I'm like,
mm-mm. Yeah, you were saying
he shouldn't have gotten there in the first place.
Yeah. As the footage was coming out, like for
the very first
time.
No, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The reason that we know that and the reason you were able to discern that is because we've been to rallies before. We've been to places where we were able to actually go and see. And we've known, like, we at NRB, President Trump spoke.
Yeah.
And then when you were able to go to the Trump rally in Greensboro.
Right. I prayed with him.
We prayed with President Trump, and the Secret Service there is no joke.
No.
Right.
Like they're not playing around.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
They get there days in advance and scope the entire place out. Every single thing is to the point where it was like, if I stepped out of line, there was one point where at the one in Greensboro, there was like a little area where everybody was just standing and there was a little area off to the side where there were some chairs. And I was like thinking twice. And I asked one of the guys there, I was like, could I grab one of those chairs? And they were like, no, sir. I was like, okay, very good.
Yeah, that's good.
So when I say they have that place on lock, I mean, you can't grab a spare chair.
Yeah. Right.
There's no way someone's climbing up a building.
Absolutely.
No,
everybody's checked. Everybody has been vetted. I mean, everything has been thoroughly checked. I mean, I remember standing behind there waiting for President Trump to come and talk with us. It was just like 6 of us. Mm-hmm. And the Secret Service was there watching us the whole time, even though we're pastors, right? We're not like doing something bad. We have been vetted. We have been talked to. We have filled out applications. Everything has happened. But the guy is still there with us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He didn't, it's like, oh, no, these guys are safe. Let me go to do something else. Right. No, he's standing there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And while he's standing there, I saw him a couple of times. He would look behind, you know, there were some drapes and, you know, curtains. He's looking behind there as well. Mm-hmm. Like while I'm waiting, I'm going to check and make sure there's nothing else just in case.
Yeah.
Very alert, very on top of things. And so for what happened, it should bother every, I don't care what your political party is. It should bother you. Mm-hmm. Like, that wasn't right.
Yeah. That's the thing. This issue that we're talking about, I mean, the assassination attempt, it transcends political parties. Because the issue here is there is evil. There is wickedness that is allowing things to happen like this. Right. And it's not, I vote this way or you vote that way. This should not happen to any president or former president.
Right.
That should not have even been possible.
If it doesn't bother you, I honestly think you need to examine yourself, especially if you call yourself a Christian. You need to examine yourself.
Yeah.
Really, you really should do.
Yeah.
You should do.
There's, no place in our society for political violence.
Right.
You know, we're
like that.
Beyond that point. And I don't have any problem or qualm saying that no. we as a culture are beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see political violence a lot growing up in India? Like, was that a very common thing?
Yeah. Several times.
Wow.
So first time it happened was when Indira Gandhi, who was the prime minister of India, who was assassinated by her own bodyguards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these were Sikhs.
Wow.
And at the time there was a big controversy and just these nonstop agitation that was going on over having their own homeland.
Mm-hmm.
They were calling it Khalistan.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
The Sikhs wanted their own country. And, you know, you can't do that. I mean, think about America, Civil War.
Yeah.
You know, you cannot just secede and say, we're just going to leave. Like, no, we can't let you do that.
Doesn't work that way.
So that's why the war,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
As painful and as hurtful as it was like, we got to have this. We cannot understand your reason. It may be states' rights. It may be something else, but you cannot just walk away.
That's right.
Without a fight.
Mm-hmm.
We got to have a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And if the fight is lost, then I guess it is what it is. But at least we need to fight for the union.
That's right.
And they did.
Mm-hmm.
So same thing in India. That was happening at the time. And there was the things that Indira Gandhi tried, you know, to negotiate and make concessions for the Sikhs,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, were and still are in some ways very powerful community,
mm-hmm.
very rich, very resourceful, very active in the Indian military
mm-hmm.
at the time. I don't know where it is today, but this is in the 80s.
Right.
Very, very patriotic.
Mm-hmm.
The Sikhs were very patriotic. And then all of a sudden, this whole call for a separate homeland.
Mm.
And then Pakistan, which is a neighboring country,
mm-hmm.
which was part of India at one time, and there's still bad blood and will probably continue for years to come, began to support the Sikhs gaining freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So they were trying to, you know, purposely supply them with weapons and this and this and this and this,
right.
Just to cause more trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were storing weapons in the Golden Temple. Golden Temple is the Sikhs' most holy place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's in Amritsar. Sikhs' most holy place. And so they were doing that. So she sent in the troops. She sent in the special forces to go ahead and get all those special weapons and what all they were doing out of the Golden Temple.
Right.
And it was bad. At that point, it just got crazy and it was getting crazier. And then next thing you know, one morning, as she's coming, either going to one of her meetings or whatever, this is still in the prime minister's residence,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
right? And as she's coming out, her bodyguard, two of them come to greet her, and she, you know, greets them back, and they pull out their weapons
and
start firing at her.
Wow.
And at that point, the other bodyguards fired at these bodyguards. I mean, there was like a crossfire that happened.
Right.
And the bodyguards who assassinated her were killed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I'm not quite sure. I think the bodyguards who fired back, I think one of them also got killed. I mean, I may be wrong.
Right.
I may be wrong.
Right.
But anyways, it was very tragic.
Yeah. Mm.
And I remember all of India, I mean, just kind of erupted at that point. There were riots everywhere and horrible things happened.
Wow.
Between the Indian public and the Sikhs.
Yeah.
And their reputation really went downhill
mm-hmm.
from that point. People did not look at them with the same sense of respect and admiration as they did at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Now it was more of a, not sure if we trust you anymore.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
You just killed our prime minister, not sure. And many of the Sikhs were very loyal.
Mm-hmm.
They did not agree with that. But unfortunately, that's what happens when somebody from your side
right.
does this. You know, that's always yeah. sad.
Do you think there's tragic. Do you think there's some unseen ramification, not unseen, but do you think there's some maybe unforeseen ramifications coming from this assassination attempt? Because I remember a lot of like the day it happened, everyone was like, this is historic. This is going to go down in history.
Yeah.
And I can't tell if the media is trying to downplay it because it doesn't seem like people are talking about it much anymore.
Yeah, it's all of a sudden it's gone.
Yeah, all of a sudden it's being hushed up.
Yeah, everybody's talking about something else, whether it's Olympics or something going on in the Middle East or whatever it is. It's not no longer the topic of discussion.
Yeah.
And I think that's very tragic. It should be.
Mm-hmm.
It should not be let off so easily because it was such a high level crime.
So right. that makes me wonder, like, what do you think has contributed to bring us to this point where there are people, I'm not even talking about the people who were directly responsible for the assassination attempt or any of the other assassination attempts in history,
right.
but the people who are, you know, almost like they're for it. Like the, yeah. like they're upset that it was not successful.
One of the things I've seen, and maybe you can speak to this, I've seen a lot of twisted people, like really twisted, saying, guys, this is nothing new. This is American as it gets. If you don't like being controlled by someone else, you go throw a bunch of tea in the harbor and you start yeah. a war and you just get violent. And this yeah. and
that's
I don't like the it's not that we're romanticizing like, hey, the founding fathers were these. You know what I'm saying? It's not like that. I'm saying you can't touch that and you can't disrespect that.
Right.
At the same time, it's a deliberate twisting of yeah. what was going on then versus what's right. going on now. But yeah. that's a lot of what I've been seeing.
The Boston Tea Party. OK, we're talking about that. Of course, think through what was going on at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was throwing tea in the harbor. Nobody mm-hmm. was being killed.
Right.
Nobody was being, you know, shot at. It was making a statement against this unjust tax. Very different.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
What happened with, let's say Lincoln,
mm-hmm.
right? It was wrong. Mm-hmm. It was wrong. It should have never happened for this person to think, I'm going to take his life because I don't agree with the direction the country has gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely two different things.
Mm-hmm.
One is just taxes. Another one is this person unhappy with the Civil War.
Right.
But still, taking a life, it's very different.
I even think about the Boston Massacre. Like, the colonists were not the ones firing on British
right.
troops.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there was never any, what you call it? There was political unrest and there was civil unrest, but there was no bloodshed until the oppressors
right,
went first.
Right.
And I think that's what people are getting twisted about this whole mm-hmm. thing. To say that this is as American as it gets, I think is really a dark part of people's minds that's starting to become exposed.
Yeah.
Because I thought for sure when it came out, I thought for sure everyone would be like, okay, I think this is going a little too far. But it's like a lot of people, and some did, but I think a lot of people just doubled down.
Yeah. It seems to me that there's across the board just a lack of regard and respect for life.
And
that's evidenced in things like abortion. That's evidenced in things like the assassination attempt on President Trump. It's just tragic to see, you know, God, who has created life and who has, you know, made us in his image, for us to then say, you're not valuable enough.
Yeah.
You don't deserve to have to be here.
Now, you know, when we were traveling, Nicole saw a sign, and we saw a sign in England as we were going by their Department of Justice headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
This is in London.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had gone to see some places in different parts. And so we went by roads or main roads, which normal tourists never go through.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm looking for all these historic churches.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm off the main tourist track.
Yeah.
And so we walk by, and one of the statements on the wall of this Department of Justice, and it was not a wall, it was like a glass, and it was etched on the glass. It said something to the effect of, when laws cease to matter, something like that, tyranny begins.
Wow.
Yeah.
When laws, LAWS, cease to matter, tyranny begins.
Yeah.
And I was like, Nicole's like, I'm going to get a picture of that. I was like, please do. And she I think she posted that picture, and I think that's what I think America needs to hear right now.
Mm-hmm. So we actually got a text, and I was going to save this for its own episode, but I think it's actually kind of relevant. Sarah P. from North Carolina texted in and wanted to know, is America currently living in a post-Christian era?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's a it's a difficult question.
Yeah.
And it's got a tinge of hopelessness in it. But I mean, do you think that we are truly post-Christian?
I don't think so. I don't think we're post-Christian. Hmm. I think we are, there are more of us, mm-hmm. more Christians in this country than people acknowledge or even pastors acknowledge. It's just that we are cowardly.
Mm. Yes.
I agree.
We don't speak up. We don't speak out.
Yeah.
And so it appears that we are the minority. And the other side will definitely lie about the statistics and make it look like everybody is into this immoral homosexual lifestyle.
Right.
You just need to wake up and realize.
Yeah.
Or everybody is getting divorced and it doesn't matter whether you go to church or not.
Yep.
Folks, listen, whether you're watching or listening right now, those statistics have been proven to be wrong.
That's
and some
true.
Of the statistics have been done by even Christian mm-hmm. researchers. And guess what? Those Christian researchers are wrong. They've yes. been proven wrong. That's not true. I believe America is still a Christian nation. Mm-hmm. I believe there are far more Christians out there than they act like it mm-hmm. or even claim to be.
Mm-hmm.
There are more Christians out there than the ones who speak out. But because we don't speak out, but because we don't live a consistent lifestyle,
right.
it almost looks like we're a minority and we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Not true.
That's true.
What do you think is the antidote for that, for the cowardice of many Christians in America? How can we become, you know, one nation under God where we have believers who are willing to take a stand for what's right, even if it's costly, even if it's going to, you know, land them in hot water in places, but they're willing to step up and fight when the fight needs to be fought.
And what does it look like for the average person, like someone who doesn't have a radio show or someone who doesn't yeah. have a platform or a pulpit or something? What does that look like for the average person?
To me, by the way, this, I found the picture.
It says, oh, nice.
It says, wherever law
ends tyranny begins.
Wow. You see yeah. Nicole taking the picture?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah,
inside
right
the picture.
In the,
right yeah. in the reflection. That's cute.
So I would say, take, for example, the Paris Olympics. We're going to mm-hmm. talk about that too one yep. day.
We'll talk about it tomorrow probably.
Oh, great. So it's been interesting to me to hear the responses. I've heard some people say, hey, that's wrong. You offended me. No, this is not Bacchanalia. This is the Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci.
Mm-hmm, right? mm-hmm.
And you were mocking the Last Supper with Jesus Christ. And that shouldn't have happened. You should respect us and don't use this time of the Olympic Games. Mm-hmm. This is not the French Games. These are the Olympic Games to force and shove your ideology, sexual ideology, into our homes,
right,
in our children's faces. This is not the time for you to try to bully someone's religion.
Mm-hmm.
This is a time just to show some creative, beautiful aspect of your French life or innovation, whatever. Mm-hmm. This is the time to do that.
Right.
To bring people together. You didn't bring people together.
No.
You did something very opposite.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrong. And it offended me as a Christian. That's one group. Another group has kind of sort of gone the route of, well, you know, what would Jesus do? Jesus would invite such people to come
that's,
on the table with
that's
them.
The part that really makes yeah. me angry.
Yeah.
I could understand just being like, well, I didn't like that, but I don't say nothing. Like, that's bad enough, but don't twist it. Don't start twisting scripture yep. to think this is what Jesus wants.
Oh, by the way, if you want to have like 46,000 shares, say that.
Oh.
Immediately, your insignificant, poorly worded, misspelled post will go viral. Mm.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because in the Bible, if you just go to the Old Testament, let's just go to the Old Testament for a moment. The prophets spoke out.
Mm, right.
Very much.
They got in the faces of kings. And I mean, Jeremiah, look at what they did to him
yeah,
because he spoke out. They're like, just shut up and you'll be fine. They're like, I can't.
I'm
going to call you out. It's like, we're going to throw you in
your
pit. You're going to have to because I'm going to keep talking.
Yeah.
It's like, and then you get to the New Testament. It's like things are not better. John the Baptist.
Yeah, he's
like calling Herod and he's like, you took your brother's wife and look, you're sitting over there. You fox. I mean, he's calling you all kinds of
it's
names.
It's like, yeah. yo, I will let you keep your head if you just stop. He's like,
I cannot.
That's the only thing.
But Jesus won't do that. Oh, wait, he did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think about, he even said about the Holy Spirit. Anything you say against me will be tolerated. But you say against the Holy Spirit, will never be forgiven.
That's right.
Whoa.
He means business. He's not joking around.
He's yeah. taking up for the third person of the Godhead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then if you want to go on to Paul, Paul did not sit back and say, okay, I'm just a poor little, you know, Christian man, go ahead and do what you want. No, yeah. when things got bad to worse, he's like, hey, wait a minute, I'm a Roman citizen.
Mm-hmm. You gotta come publicly apologize to me.
Publicly apologize to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he was being tried in Jerusalem, he didn't sit back and say, well, you know, I mean, when I decided to follow Jesus, this was what I expected. This is what's going to... No, he's like, I appeal to Caesar. I'm mm-hmm. a Roman citizen. You mm-hmm. unjustly tried me. I'm appealing to Caesar. And even the procurators and others said, if he hadn't appealed to Caesar, he could have gone home.
Jeez.
But I mean, he appealed to the Caesar. So 2,000 years ago, it's not a barbaric rule.
Right.
When he appealed to Caesar, he got to see Caesar.
Yeah. That's right.
The Roman emperor. And if you read carefully Romans and Ephesians and Philippians, there is resistance language mm-hmm. throughout. Means when they're telling people, hey, listen to the authorities. If you don't read Greek, I'm sorry. Sorry for you.
Yeah.
But if you need to learn how to read that, you'll notice there's so much resistance language. Means they're saying the whole time, shake your fist.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, the point is, I think Christians should not cower mm-hmm. and speak out and let your voice be heard.
That's right.
That's right. You guys enjoyed today's episode. If it was helpful for you in understanding how to respond to things going on in our world, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and let us know it's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. Lots of great content coming your way the rest of this week. Make sure you guys tune in. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.